we want to welcome you back to the Tip of the Tower podcast, where we eventually have a hard time getting started here because Richard has to bring up a tweet that he tweeted out. Austin,
I'm going
to
read it, and then Richard will analyze.
Before we get into, okay, so we're getting into our, this is our Leafs segment. Before we get into it.
This has nothing to do with hockey.
This has nothing to do with hockey, but I think many of you at home that are listening to this will enjoy this story. So Austin, let's
I think anybody with a sense of humor will
this is a lovely little tale that Richard
brought. I have nothing to do with this other than the fact that I just.
You brought it to our attention via Twitter, so.
Now I have a real hard time believing that.
All right, so this is a lovely little tale from Detroit. It goes like this. Sources say it started when two special ops officers from the 12th Precinct were operating a push-off on Andover near 7 Mile. So basically, they were going as drug dealers, I suppose would be the best way to put that.
Okay, this is what happened. Yeah. These two police precincts...
Yes.
They're both undercover. One's selling, one's buying. And the dumbasses. How do you have...
So the officers from the 12th Precinct were dressed up as drug dealers. And then officers from the 11th Precinct showed up, not realizing that the people were fellow officers. And they ordered the undercover officers to the ground.
Okay. You thought that the Montreal Canadiens were run terribly... At least they aren't in the street fighting each other. There's real crime going on in Detroit.
Wow.
And somewhere, these 10 officers are like brawling 5-on-5 over some drug deal that went...
Sources say guns were drawn and punches were thrown while the homeowner stood and watched.
Imagine being homeowners and just watching this.
Watching the police brawl.
The realization when, like, they're all cops, like, you got to call cops on cops. The police pull up and it's like, wait a minute.
That's a PR nightmare. Anyhow, Maple Leafs.
Wow.
Why can't we have that? Why can't we just start brawling in the street just because some shit goes wrong? Like, David had technical
difficulties.
You
can go up and punch a guy in the street in Toronto.
Next time,
it might happen if somebody like bumps into someone or doesn't hold the door and doesn't say, you're welcome, or something.
Next time David has technical difficulties, I'm swinging on him. I don't care.
Oh, we had some real hard technical difficulties.
Just starting a brawl out in the hallway.
Oh, man. But
I think that's the greatest thing I've seen all day.
Retweet?
Just the fact that like these guys started brawling. Just how do you buy? How do you set? Like, who organizes this shit?
Well,
I don't know.
I swear we try to be a hockey podcast, but
we do a terrible job.
We find this stuff very entertaining. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So we've been on break for the last 2 weeks, mainly because I was really sick 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to record, and then Richard was sick last week. So now nobody is sick.
Except
right?
Austin. Austin's just not there.
Yeah, I'm terrible all the time. So.
Yeah.
So, no days off. Terrible 24/7.
So we have found a way to come back. Healthy. We were like Austin Matthews on the he's not even on the IR. We're
returning to the ice like Austin Matthews is tonight. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So as we're recording this, the Leafs are going to be taking on the New Jersey Devils tonight. Probably by the time this is being uploaded, the Leafs will be playing the New Jersey Devils.
And maybe winning against the New Jersey Devils.
Well, it's not going to be easy because there's no Austin Matthews. And the last time we played the New Jersey Devils. It wasn't very pretty. And that was with Austin Matthews in the lineup.
I was at that game.
That
3-on-5 goal was so dumb.
I've never seen... Do we really want to relive?
Can I interject for 1 second?
How that happened.
We go from like very hilarious cop story to like the most depressing Leaf game that I've...
Come on. Like, they're fighting in the street.
This is not to do with the Maple Leafs, but did you guys catch any of the Detroit-Calgary game last night?
Oh. You want to talk about a fight on the... fight.
This is what I was going to touch on. Nick Kiprios...
Put them all in the fourth line.
Nick Kiprios of Sportsnet just tweeted out that it looks like the NHL is going to suspend Luke Kwiatkowski for 10 games for coming back off the bench.
No, he didn't even... He was sent off the
ice.
He
was sent off and then came back on, but because he left and then came back, they're going to suspend it for 10 games.
Well,
a la David Clarkson back in 2013, 2014.
No.
I don't mind the Clarkson thing.
The Clarkson wasn't so bad because Phil Kessel was being mugged
John
by
Scott
John Scott.
Was going to murder him.
Oh, I was there. That game was fantastic.
The Detroit one, the guy was being dumb and decided, yeah, I'm going to go back on the ice because that's allowed.
People were mad at Kessel because he slashed on. And it was like, listen, if somebody's 6'11 or whatever he is,
6'7,
6'8, like on skates, like 6'11, if he's lining up to me next, like You trying to hurt me? I'm using my stick. I'm trying to hurt him.
Using the skates.
There's no chance
anything.
That Phil Kessel ever wins that fight, and then that's why David Clarkson had to step in because
yeah, and no, he didn't really.
He really wouldn't have John Scott like breathing down Kessel's back in a face-off.
And man, Clarkson probably didn't even want to do it.
No, like, yeah, it was like I gotta make him love me.
All right.
And then, like, remember when Kaji was like, yeah, and Lupo held me back because I wanted to go on the ice, too? I'm like, okay. See, Nassim.
This is
okay,
why let's... Clarkson jumped on the ice. Not to protect Kessel, but it was because it was year one of what was supposed to be a 7-year deal.
And
so
he wanted to make
don't jump on the ice. Yeah. You have to live with that for, like, the next – well, I mean, they trade him
it's
next
like,
year.
It's but... like the equivalent of Matt Martin not jumping on the ice in that situation. Except not as big of a contract and not
no,
as many expectations.
But Babcock would never allow that either.
Could you imagine? No, Lou would jump down from the press box and stop that.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about how this era of Leafs would handle that situation. We'll get into that in another talk, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that was just...
Komarov would probably just like run him from behind later.
Oh, absolutely.
Just something stupid.
He would try, but...
he'd run him right in the numbers, elbow right into the back of the head.
He probably wouldn't
like
even
was
do
like,
anything.
Just like, yeah. What a shit disturber Komarov is.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that really went off topic there, but that was great. Great
breaking news. You'd never plan for it.
No, you never. You never do. But, okay. So Matthews has been out since the Leafs took on the Vegas Golden Knights. Okay. He was supposedly not at his best in that game, and yet he made a ridiculous
pretty good, yeah.
He made a ridiculous pass. Like
that play for Van Riemsdyk's goal was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that was great.
You know, spin around and pass it. Yeah.
That was pretty much the play that started the revival of James Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah.
Value and skill with the Leafs. Like, he was in a bad, bad way.
And that's where I was going to go because he's been out four games, or this is going to be his fourth game. And the Leafs have not had that. Obviously, it's different with him not in the lineup, but they've survived it. And they're going to have to continue surviving it. And how they survived it, I actually wrote a piece on this. James Van Riemsdyk, Mitch Marner,
Frederick Gauthier,
Frederick Anderson.
On the third line?
You spelled Gauthier wrong.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You spelled it Anderson.
Oh, okay. I see.
Humor.
I was like, what is he talking about? And I understood.
You probably spelled it right, unless you put an O instead of an E at the end of Anderson.
I made that mistake once in a text, and I got lit up for it, so I'm never doing that again. No, it's a serious offense because now who the hell are you talking about? There could be a Frederick Anderson with an O at the end.
There's an Anderson. Craig Anderson.
It's just like an O at the end.
What?
Did you say an O at the end?
The text that I had sent someone a long time ago had an O at the end because I was thinking of Craig Anderson when I said Frederick Anderson.
Frederick Anderson.
See what you got now?
Now we're
so
off
wait,
topic.
Who are we
and
talking
Dave
about
can't
again?
Speak.
Okay.
All right, let's get back to it.
Frederick Sjöström?
No.
Jonas Frogren?
Stop it.
Jerky Lume?
Okay, so the Leafs have gone by because James Van Riemsdyk figured out, he can score in front of the net.
I mean, like, when things aren't going for him, just drive to the net. Like, there's this power play that I feel like I mentioned already. It's like they win the draw, they give it to Van Riemsdyk, and then Kadri and Bozak just go to the net. Because, look at the game-tying goal against, who was it, Boston?
The late one against,
that was Marner's slap pass.
He was right there.
Yeah.
Gianni on the spot. Like, all the time. Like, he's at his best when he drives and when he just plants his ass.
He probably is one of the best in the NHL in front of the goal. Yep. He has that move. He even has that move where he'll get the puck, he'll turn, and he'll wire up top.
A lot of the time, it looks stupid, but then it's like, if
the
that
one
doesn't
time
work,
it
like it like opens up stuff for like other people.
Yeah.
Right?
The one time it worked against Buffalo, that was one of the goals of the Leafs season.
But like when I think of Van Riemsdyk, I remember when he first got to Toronto, and his skating was so good with the puck.
Yep. He was a train.
I remember he used to be on the penalty kill. He once took the puck and decided to go around the zone, like I think like two or three times, to kill time on the penalty kill. Like, he used to be that type of, like, dominant presence with the puck. But, I mean, he's had to change his game a bit because, you know, he's not, you know, when he was playing in the Carlisle, we'll say the Carlisle system, when it was more of scoring off the rush with Kessel and Bozak, Babcock is more about the cycle and puck, you know, battles for the pucks, getting the pucks back. So he's had to change it, but he's adapted to it, and he's learned to adapt now The question is, will teams figure it out eventually? I mean, for a while I think they had.
Yep.
But our team's going to figure it out, and he's not going to be able to make that second adjustment?
It's honestly hard to say.
Because, like, the thing is that Chara, well, I mean, I think that what's made it easier is Chara could have easily given him, like, a good two-hander.
Yep.
But he can't do that anymore.
Well, no. I mean, he mauled someone in front of the net. I don't remember who it was. The game in Toronto.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Was that also JVR? Like, he just, like...
Probably.
Yeah, it probably was.
He was all over the place to the ref right after that.
Yeah, like, and that was on the power play, too, and it's like, just keep doing it.
Yeah. Like, but if I'm a player, you bring it to the attention of the refs. Let him do it again, because the refs are probably going to let it go the first time.
The officiating has been dumb. I mean, like, I think it was the same game, too. Like, someone was tripped, and was it Cuthbert during the game? Someone said, this is going to be a 5-on-3. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah.
It's just the topic of officiating, too, is another thing, because, it's not like they're biased against Toronto. It's the fact that they're so inconsistent. Like,
that has been, you don't know what to expect. Like, the NHL thinks the problem is that is with the they need to be tighter on the penalties because they're not calling things
just
enough.
Be consistent.
No, it's just the consistency is not there. They can handle NHL players can handle slashes.
Yeah.
They can't handle the egregious slashes that will
the two-hand whack. That.
The two-hand whacks. But
like
the little
Marco
tap,
Scandella the other night.
The little tap.
I mean, like, look at a lot of the calls that have been made. It's like, if you're on the rush and someone just, like, puts their, like, stick on your side, it's like half the time the player doesn't even realize that, like.
No.
And then, like, they stop
playing. They call it.
Yeah, and they're like, wait, what's going on?
And you're ruining the game because you're constantly stopping it.
The funny thing is I want to see where this is going to be in the playoffs. Because they won't be making these calls.
If they make it in the playoffs, the NHL is going to have a problem with their ratings.
Like, you can get away with murdering someone in the playoffs.
Look, I'm going to go to the NFL just for a second here. People are complaining that the NFL is getting terrible ratings, and they're trying to blame it on the protests. They're trying to blame it on, you know, things that are like the discipline.
I protested that by throwing my coffee maker off my balcony.
Ouch.
Nice.
All because of Colin Kaepernick. Mm. Good job.
Attaboy.
People are so dumb. Like,
but the reason you don't want to know the reason why the NFL is having a hard time drawing people in. You watch an NFL game. You watch the amount of penalties on every.
And, I mean, it's so
play.
Inconsistent too. Like,
it is ridiculous.
And just on top of that too, like, if you throw up any kind of pass and there's, like, you know, like a 50-50 ball, it's like either like
pass
interference it for sure, or it's like it should have been pass interference.
And the NHL is eventually going to get to this stage if they continue to put too much power into what the refs can do.
Yep.
We're seeing it with the face-offs, because the face-off rule is the stupidest one I've seen them make.
That was one of the recent
out
games.
Power plays, that's like, you're going too far now, because
that was the
how do you call two penalties before the puck's even dropped?
That was the Hurricanes game. They were on the power play with a chance to get back in it in the third, and Calgary took a face-off violation.
And now, I can't remember who mentioned it, but they're drawing. Other team players are drawing other guys. If they know that if they do something illegal on the faceoff, they're going to get the penalty. So they're going to go early.
What was it? The game the Leafs played against the Ducks? The Leafs were just burying them in draws, and Carlisle decided he was just going to get his guys to jump the draws instead of taking faceoffs. So a centerman would just get set but not, like, put his stick down, not win it, and then jump around the Leaf center like the broadcast noticed it.
Yeah, so, like, teams are going to eventually make adjustments to this, but I think, the NHL needs to keep a – you can't tell the NHL to keep their hands off because they're not going to listen. Not until the fans
– they're not in the business of doing what people love.
But we've seen the NHL have to make adjustments because fans hated, like, the dry scrape before the shootout. The shootout.
Wait, what's the shootout again?
Yeah.
You buried
the thing
the
that
lead
the
there.
Leafs are actually good at it now, apparently.
I'm used to exhilarating 3-on-3.
It's one shootout.
Game.
Hey,
the Leafs won 8 shootout
last year. I don't know how
year.
They ever did 4-on-4 overtime. And it's been like 2 years. And, like, I don't know how. Like, it just seems so, like, you know.
Well,
like,
they didn't expect teams to not be able to score on 4-on-4. So now they had to give them more ice.
3-on-3 with the long change just makes for just, like, because the game could be done at any second. Like, you can go in on a 3-on-0.
Look at the Edmonton. I think the Edmonton Oilers are the best. They're the best team. Because they have three guys, well, two guys, well, one guy. Let me just say that. One guy and whoever the hell is on the ice with him.
I could be on the ice with McDavid. With Connor McDavid. Just stand there and just like
that I think it was against the Devils where he gets
the
puck,
down the wing?
Flew down the wing, blows by the defender, stops. Oh, Leon Draisaitl's right there for the tap.
You would have to slash him in the face in order to stop it.
You would have to like kick his stick up in the
air.
Yeah,
it's just
but
silly.
Then he'll just kick
he'll,
it with his
feet. Yeah, he's too fat. Just...
Those two overtime goals they scored on that New York swing were ridiculous. Was the other one against the Islanders where Draisaitl just flipped it behind his back and McDavid tucked it under the bar.
Yeah.
That goal was insane.
I mean, it's not gonna work when it gets to the playoffs, if the Oilers get to the playoffs. Yeah,
no,
got a long way.
I think it's safe to say that, you know,
Mike Camilleri is taking
them
to the
fun,
promised land.
Mike Camilleri will help with that, apparently.
It's the X Factor.
Is it 2010?
Apparently.
Might as well be.
That news broke out, I actually said, yeah, that trade is like 5 years too late.
You see Jokinen, he'll help with the shootouts.
In L.A.
Remember when he was the go-to guy in the shootout?
He was so good.
He might still be. I don't know.
No,
I have a UC Jokinen jersey, to be honest. I'm not kidding. It's
a Panthers jersey?
No, a Hurricanes one.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's respect. Hurricanes
I'm not lying to you guys.
Cool.
I have like a UC Jokinen Hurricanes jersey.
Wow. Okay. So back to the Leafs.
I don't know anyone else in this country that does.
Wow. No, I've seen people with Hurricanes jerseys.
No, but
UC Jokinen.
No, not a UC Jokinen one. That one's very rare.
Okay. That's different.
I think it was an Eric Staal and Rob Brindamore.
We all make mistakes, guys.
Yeah. Apparently, Richard makes too many.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back to the whole Matthews call context.
Oh, we were on that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
we've walked so far off the path.
Let's talk about the other guy that's been finding his groove, which is Mitch Marner.
He
has been fantastic.
I think Bob McKenzie, when I think it was after the game, he literally said, "Mitch Marner's an artist." Don't mess with his craft or, like, let him do his job, do what he does best. Do not try to change it because everyone's telling him, shoot more, shoot more, shoot more. He's not a premier
shooter. I feel like he shoots when he has the opportunity.
Yeah, he will.
Like, you saw the goal against Boston. Like, he knows how to shoot, but then it's like, if he can see something is about to happen, he'll
make
the
better
winner,
play.
It was like he drew two guys in, slap pass to Gardner.
I think
even if Gardner wanted to shoot, Gardner sees Marlowe with the open net tapping, right? So then that was all because of like
that was poor defending on that.
I don't know why they both like bit on that, but you know, it,
2 points.
It gave like Gardner the perfect pass.
It did. No, so yeah, that has been I think the biggest difference with Marner is that I think people may not agree with it, but that decision move on the fourth line was a good one.
Yep,
because it allowed him to just continue to work on getting his confidence back. Mitch Marner's not going to be a guy that's going to score 30 goals.
Nope.
I've come to that because he's not that type of player. He is the guy that's going to get you, you know, you hope for like, you know, 50 assists.
He's going to help his line mates get close to 30 goals.
Yeah, if he's given quality goal scorers, he will get there. But the thing is,
you know my thoughts on Tyler Bozak.
Yeah,
he's not with quality goal scorers right now.
Yeah.
He's with guys that can tap his
pass. I'm gonna throw out something for you guys later about something that may be able to help Marner. We'll see how that goes.
Playing with somebody other than Tyler Bozak, I like.
Yeah,
it.
But okay.
Sorry, I've ruined your three.
Okay, and then way. I mean we'll touch on Anderson just quickly. I think he has been a big reason why the Leafs have won.
Yep.
The reason why he won the Minnesota, even people were saying he was shaky with the Vegas game because of that goal he gave up in the third period to Engelin.
At the time,
that was just a bad bad move, bad
that
play.
That was a bad dumping. That was supposed to be a dump and change, and Connor Carrick didn't get it deep enough, and then
he
went for a change.
He gave it to them. And like,
he gave it to them. He's like, here, go take a
it
shot.
It was back at their blue line, and Engelin pinched up.
It looked like he thought that Martin. There was someone that tweeted this to me. Like I don't remember who, but like. He said that it looked like Martin. He expected Martin to like chase it, and Martin decided to change as well. And like I get that, but then just the opposite of just going like here,
take an extra
second,
just like one extra stride, and then like flip it in. But
exactly,
and that goal was. I mean, like it was a good shot, but then it's like it's
the same. It's one you have to stop,
and it's one that
if it's any other player, I don't think everybody gets that upset.
There's no, but like it was, it wasn't like you know.
It was well placed.
You
it wasn't
screened.
A hard shot.
It was like just
no. It was a clean, like clean. He got beat clean.
Yeah. More so than that, that overtime scared the crap out of me with Anderson.
Yeah, but he kept them in it.
Yeah, no, he made the saves he had to. It was just he's taking a lot of chances recently playing the puck.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really gotten to see Anderson. It looks like he's trying to be that Braden Holtby, Carey Price type of, like, anytime you shoot it behind the net, he goes and gets
it. Because that team, the Leafs, are having such a hard time getting the puck out of their own end. He feels like, and Carey Price, it's a part of the reason why Montreal was as good as they were defensively is because, and I'm going to give Glenn Healy a lot of credit for this when he said it, he is their seventh defenseman.
Yep.
He is that third defenseman on the ice because he will take that pressure off the defense by being because he doesn't just shoot it down the ice. He gets it out of the zone and not take an icing. Oh, wow. Richard is very happy right now. As you know, the three of us are college students. Austin and I are both doing placements. Richard, unfortunately, is stuck without anything. But apparently now the colleges are being asked to go back to work. So Richard is. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Richard?
Why did you just show me that?
I just got a follow from Alicia Cuthbert. Oh, that's really? Pretty interesting.
Why did you point out her tweet? I was like,
no.
I don't care what she's...
Austin is...
yeah, I don't know.
Wow,
man.
I'm big time. I didn't even see that.
Social media day for both.
Well, I saw I lost a follower, so I decided to go
what
through
mean, my
social followers.
Social media day for me. I just saw a fucking fight that I wanted to
show. Well, we're not getting back to that fight. Okay, let's get back to Anderson quickly for a second.
Get
what
as far away from that Detroit fight as possible.
College negotiations resulted in a street fight.
Between teachers and also teachers.
I mean, sometimes it does be like that.
Oh, God. okay. I think what's... I don't even know what to say to that. I just have nothing to say to that. Wow. Thank
you. All right.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just... Okay, we're just going to recap those last two... Like, that last game. Curtis McElhinney.
Good.
I mean,
not bad.
Not bad. He wasn't he
but
wasn't
games
amazing.
That you don't notice him. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll
yeah.
take that.
But your backup goalie is not supposed to be extraordinary.
But then, no, I mean, I would say he's one of the worst backup goalies too, though. if you're not,
I will
Vegas.
Give you a bunch of goalies that are way worse as backups.
Starting
Let's start with Antti Niemi.
Oh.
Let's start with Eddie Lack.
No, but backup goalie as in like a number two. On the depth chart, not like an injury, like because it's not like people got hurt in Toronto. It's like he's the Leafs' backup, like he's the second option. He's not like a top tier second option.
No.
And I know that we're like nitpicking now, but
I think their top tier second option is with the Marlies.
Yeah.
But I think the good thing about that is if there is an injury to Anderson, they don't have to. They can call him up on an emergency basis.
Yep.
And play him. But, yeah.
They're in a very good spot for goalies.
They are. Yeah. And
what looked like it was going to be a very bad year behind McElhinney?
I think Vegas or some team should be calling the Leafs to see.
Well, we were talking about the possibility of, like, if McElhinney has a problem, like, who comes up? Is it Corpusalo? No, we don't have Corpusalo.
No.
The other one, Cascasuo. Sorry.
No.
How did we get so lucky?
I got my fins mixed up.
When I fell asleep and we just got...
Sorry, Cascasuo, I meant, and he's been loaned to Chicago in the AHL, and Eric Fair was loaned
because
as well.
Because Vegas doesn't have an NHL goalie right now.
Corpusalo, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh my
it happens
God.
To the best of us. But I think, that was just my little bit on McElhinney. He's been good. He doesn't have to be great. Considering it was a back, and I think the Leafs were hemmed a lot in their own end.
Mm.
I think the difference in that game was McElhinney, Marner, and Leo Komarov. Because the Bruins, their game plan was to be gritty, scrappy, and get the Leafs frustrated.
It's par for the course.
But Leo Komarov decided,
you
let me
when
be.
Sean tried to, like.
Smooch like, with Komarov.
No,
like,
no, this was.
Like
was
off
that.
The first
like,
shift. He tried to start like a line
brawl. Went at Kadri, and then Komarov saw that and like picked him up. And was like, no. He took like five
We're not
steps
having
back
this.
And then put him down. Like, no.
Look, see, like those are the things you value with a guy like Komarov. Those are the things that I think that Babcock values, and that's why Komarov is one of those guys who will stay in the lineup.
Yeah.
Another reason why a guy like Martin will stay in the lineup. You appreciate those things. Can
Speaking of Martin,
okay,
that hit.
Oh,
oh
I thought, Man, I thought Martin was done for it after, like...
I thought he broke his arm, but at the same time, it was like, you just ran into a wall.
Yeah, that hurt.
And then, I mean, I don't know if Martin was actually hurt or winded, but I would also say no to Char. Even if, like,
I like the amount of times.
If you don't have to fight Char,
Okay, there was no reason for him to have to fight Char. And then he decides...
Yeah.
And the
Char walks up like, do you want to go? No, no, okay, okay.
And then
Martin's like dying, like, no, I'll go later.
And then he sees, like, he gets challenged again. He thought it was, like, probably thought it was Char, and he sees his Bolesky. He's like, sweet Lord, yes.
Yeah, you're more my
side. You shrank a little, didn't you? All right, fuck it, let's go. He still thinks it's Char, but, like, he just feels taller.
You saw him when he was dropping the gloves. He gave, like, that little side, like, ah, all right.
Yeah.
Bolesky lost the cat. Do not fight after clean hits, but if you have to, do not lose the fight.
Yeah.
You have to win that by not by decision, by knockout.
What was it?
You can't let it go to the judges after you avenge a clean hit.
Oh, man.
It's such a stupid thing to do.
I was watching the Sabres and Pens the other night, and I forget.
You were watching a Sabres game?
It's part of my job, David.
Awesome.
I don't willingly sign up to watch Sabres games.
I was about to say, yeah, trust me.
Oh, my God. They ended up losing in overtime regardless. It was like the first period, and I forget who was hit.
Was that the one that Jack Eichel forgot about his man?
No, well, it happened before that, but yeah, that was when Jack Eichel just left Connor Sheary open on 3-on-3.
Yeah, like a wide open, like half.
He was standing in the high slot, and Sheary was standing on the short side post.
Shaw was in, like, all right, thanks, I guess.
But in that game, yeah, like I said, I don't remember who was hit, but Jack Eichel decided he would be the guy to step in and stand up for his teammate on a dirty hit. And luckily, he was on a line with Evander Kane, because Eichel threw a couple punches at the guy, and then Evander Kane just sort of pushed him and went, nope, you're not the guy.
Nope.
And then he didn't end up fighting for him, but he just ended up tackling the guy who made the hit to make him avoid filling in Eichel. Because I don't know how well Jack Eichel can fight, and I really don't want to find out, because we already lost him for half of last year, and he's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we've lost. I was like, are you a Sabres fan?
Low key.
You got to solve with those
don't have a tower, but apparently they're on our site.
As a hockey fan in general, yeah.
They don't have much of anything in Buffalo, I apologize.
They're just Toronto's suburb.
Are they part of the GTA? They should be. All right.
Okay, so Matthews is still out. Cause for concern?
No.
It's November. Wait, it's November, right? Yeah, it's November.
But that's four games.
It's four games in November. I mean, like, if this is like a playoff push where, like, it's like we need they need the points, and it's like, I'd be scared, but it's...
I'm not saying a cause for concern about, like, results. I'm worried about what's the injury. Is this an injury that can come back later in the season?
I feel like they think it is. That's why they're being cautious. Like,
I think it's a realization by the Leafs that it's exactly what we said. It's November. It's your franchise player, and you're not going to throw him out.
And also, I mean, like, hockey is like, you know, well, like a guy could get his leg cut off. And they'd be like, that's a lower body injury. It's a lower body injury. We will evaluate later. So,
well, the thing is, it's like Carey Price with the Habs, not to an extent, I guess, to the same extent, because we don't know what either of their injuries are. They're holding Carey Price out. We don't know if it's because mental. He had a couple of bad games. Apparently, there was something saying he was injured in the warm-up before that pounding they took in Minnesota. But Matthews, you still don't know what his injury is. You really want to take that chance. I mean, you see how much punishment he takes. He's the target for every single top pairing. Every single player on that ice is out to take Matthews out of the play.
Yeah.
And centers also have to play both ends of the ice. They have to be on the back check. There's a lot of wear and tear on the body. So do you really want to force Matthews back in? Or do you give him a couple extra games in the middle of November when you're second in the Eastern Conference you're playing the New Jersey Devils?
If Matthews missed one game in, like, the playoff push, I'd be like, all right, I would want to know why. But now it's like, if he's sore, if he's banged up, if he just needs some time off,
They said as much, that it was soreness, and that's why he was going to miss that Vegas game, or possibly miss it, and then he missed it regardless. I think people are so worked up, and I think we talked about this, Richard, is because they sort of dangled it over everyone's head all week because of the bye week. There's a lot to talk about with the Leafs, like, oh, Matthews is coming back. Here he comes. He's going to be back for the Devils.
Because he came back on the ice.
Matthews is retired.
Yeah, and then they pulled a string on us on game day.
Like Aruba right now. Just
for a guy like Matthews, that's a lot of buildup for fans because they get so excited to watch him. It's like, it's a lot of buildup over 4 days, and then to have the string pulled out before you can get to it.
I mean, and you, because it's just like, you think something's going to happen, then when it doesn't happen, you're just like, well, that's not good.
Yeah, everybody panic. I don't think anybody should be panicking.
You should, like, okay, I wouldn't say panic, but there, I think there's
there is panic.
A reason to be concerned. Oh, there is panic.
There is definitely panic.
It's Leafs Nation. There's Check always Twitter. A reason
No,
to
these
panic.
Guys are all calm and collected.
We're very
times.
Rational individuals in
Leafs
Nation.
Leafs fans know that it's just, you know, it's chill. Everything's it's kosher, bro. Everything's relaxed.
Kosher. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no cause for concern with me. The cause for concern, I don't remember who brought it up on the radio a couple days ago. It's William Nylander, I think. He's not injured or anything. He's just slumping.
He was sick this past week. I don't know how long he's been sick for. But no, he has not been William Nylander.
They've made the point that, like, this isn't just because he's missing Matthews. He was having trouble scoring before Matthews was gone. So Nylander's, because Matthews is gone, he's now the big target.
No,
so it's understandable why he's not scoring. Also, putting him with Leo Komarov.
He's 5.5 this year. He has 3 goals. At some point, you know.
He's going to go on a tear at some point.
And I mean, like, he's looked good for.
How many points does he have
this season? 13.
Yeah, he has 13 points.
He have a couple of assists now, right? Because he was at 11 at one point.
I think
point
he has 3 goals and 10 assists. No?
And I mean, his possession stats pretty much the same.
I mean, he is playing with Kadri and Komarov.
Yeah.
The one thing is that he's not starting in the
offensive zone
as much.
Yeah.
Right? But still, like,
defensive
he's
zone
still,
starts,
I mean,
that's fine.
The eye test and the possession
he's,
stats say
he's
that
all
he's
over
still
the puck.
The same.
This is not, let's not get this confused as me saying William Nylander has been a terrible player.
No.
He's all over the ice. He's playing Matthews' role, which is not easy. Mm-hmm. And he's a winger that has to now, as I said before, take a lot of wear and tear. He has to play both ends of the ice, back check. He has to do everything Matthews was doing, and that's not an easy feat.
You know what? And I think when I read Elliot Friedman's 31 thoughts, it used to be 30 thoughts.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
31, it was weird because he kept getting
sick. He said as much when the first one came out the season he was on the radio and said it's weird to me having to write that extra one post.
But he wrote in there that he talked to, I think it was another NHL coach or executive, saying that the reason why he thinks Nylander is a better fit for the wing is because he's able to hide a bit more.
Yep.
Because as center, you're being asked to take a more prominent role, as you were saying.
You're in the center of the ice. There's nowhere to hide along the boards or behind checks.
Nope.
They talked about that, if you want to go back to the Detroit game, Calgary game last night, they were talking about Johnny Gaudreau and how good he is at not just because of his size, but how good he is at just getting into those, being very quiet when you're coming into the zone, and then being able to fit into those areas where he can make stuff happen.
Yeah.
If you're the center, you're carrying the puck in most of the time, unless you're dishing off to the wingers who have speed down the wing. I mean, it's, again, Nylander's not playing bad, he's just not getting the results. It's like Marner. Didn't get his second goal of the year until the Boston game. I'd say over the Boston series, he was probably the best player on the ice for the Leafs.
Yeah.
He was dynamic. He looked like last year's Mitch Marner, I'd say.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with him.
I mean, like, these guys are also very young, too.
Yeah.
So it's like
they're going to go through these challenges.
Nylander's 21
Except
years
Matthews,
old.
Because Matthews isn't human. He's only challenges this that he's
Matthews
hurt,
is a 45-year-old man and a 20-year-old
like,
body.
The stuff that he does, it's like, it's all, like, he always makes the right thing. But, like, guys like Marner and Nylander, there'll be, like, some growing pains. There'll be some bad, like, 5.5 shooting percentage, you know. He's still getting the chances. It's just...
But nobody can have a year as bad shooting percentage wise as Nazem Kadri a couple of years back.
Oh yeah, that was pretty dreadful.
It's going to get better.
Might score 30 again this year.
I think he will.
He's got 10 or 11 already.
I mean, if he doesn't go like in a huge slump, it's like he's got 30 again.
He's got 30 in his sleep.
Nazem Kadri 30 goals. Like,
well, people
would
have thought
that 3 years ago.
He's got 10 goals.
I think he's pretty sure he's on pace for 40. So,
that's
not happening.
No.
He'll score 50.
He'll surprise
35 goal scorer, Nazem Kadri. Put it down.
He's scoring 7 tonight. tomorrow.
On Corey Schneider.
Just coast.
Exactly.
Is Schneider back in the net for the Devils?
He's starting tonight because I have him on my fantasy.
I wish it was Kincaid.
Completely unrelated. Is the shooter tutor in net tonight or is it Ferguson for the Golden Knights?
Did you just say?
Shooter tutor.
Please respect his name.
No, I'm saying there was a tweet made earlier in the year.
What is his name? I don't know what his name is.
Dylan Ferguson is
I don't know these
I'm not saying he's a shooter tutor. I'm saying there was a tweet earlier in the season when Dansk went down saying, is Vegas going to put the shooter tutor in net to start for them next game?
They should have.
He hasn't been bad.
Like,
I mean,
I'm pretty sure that they're now doing, contests in Vegas. suit up and play for the team. Because
Florida
there's
did
no
that a
way they
years
had
ago.
That many goalies yeah. to start, you know, like.
Well, I mean, they no, with the Malcolm Subban's expansion today, though. Because of the expansion draft, they had quite a few goalies.
Yeah, they loaded
no,
up.
No, but like now, like, oh. like where did they get this guy from?
No, the, that
he's
was their
draft
pick. It was literally
was,
the guy they drafted
tough.
This year.
He called
that's
him, they called him up from the CHL.
Years
old.
That is tough. Could you imagine, like, not... Oh, wait.
Yeah, he's playing for Kamloops right now. They called him up on an emergency.
So, apparently the lineup updates is that, yeah, Legacy is good. Ferguson is dressing and Subban's still out.
Subban practiced today with the team, apparently.
And Marc-Andre Fleury has been...
He's a ghost.
Been a ghost. Poor guy with the concussion.
He's in the quiet room. Yeah. Which he should be, because he's... Up there in age, you don't want to screw
and he's
around.
He's had concussions before.
Yep. You don't want to screw around with that, especially a goalie that got you to that start.
Exactly.
Were we going to talk about Soshnikov?
Yes, we cool. are going to talk Soshnikov. So, good for him for having that clause in his contract.
Yeah, good for him and his agent. That's smart.
I love the Lou Lamoriello contact. Sorry, not contact. I was going to say contact. He didn't. I don't know what word I was going for there. The quote from
you,
Lou Lamoriello.
You love the Lou Lamoriello contract?
You just love Lou Lamoriello.
Did he sign himself
what,
a team-friendly
no,
deal?
I meant to say, I loved what Lou Lamoriello said about the contract, yep. which was that I did not sign that contract because there's no way.
No, that was a notice
no
contract.
No way, Lou.
No. This regime would not get
well, you know what? Because this was a time where when they signed Soshnikov, the Leafs did not have this depth in their prospect pool.
This was
they didn't.
Was the year they signed Soshnikov was the year
it was
the
Mark
season Hunt- after they drafted Nylander, right?
Well, it was the first year of Hunter because Hunter was the one that found
okay.
that. No, they
found him. There's allegations of tampering.
Some
I don't know if you remember
in
that.
Russia, they just found him.
Well, no, because one of the scouts, the scout was his coach in Russia.
One of the scouts,
okay.
One of the Leafs scouts in Russia is Vlad Nemesnikov's father, and he was a coach for Soshnikov's team.
Yeah.
But he was working for the Leafs and coaching in Russia, so they did like collusion.
Hey. Russia collusion? No, no.
no
come
oh,
on,
we're
man.
Not
that's
going
not,
there.
That's
oh
not do
yeah,
that,
let's open up that can of worms, please.
No, thank you.
No, but you know
people
what?
People are going to be boycotting our show that don't even listen to these things.
Exactly.
Somebody's getting triggered on the internet tonight.
But no, I give credit to Komarov's agent, Soshnikov's agent.
Just crediting everyone.
I'm just crediting everyone.
Give credit
hey,
to Komarov's agent.
Actually, I'll give credit to Komarov's agent, too, because
that's a
that
large
contract,
lump of money.
That's a good contract he's got, too. But no, Soshnikov's agent was smart to do. And you know what? His agent now wasn't even the one that worked on the deal. That's the funny part. He goes on the radio because I listened to when he was on the
590.
On the 590 yep. saying they were asking about the contract. He's like, well, I didn't sign the contract, yeah. but it's a very common thing now with Russian players.
Yep.
Apparently, some other Russian players, namely one that went to Vegas, didn't put that in his contract because that would have saved him a lot of grief.
Yeah.
What are you doing signing in Vegas as a 30-year-old?
Like, he was like, promised an opportunity.
He was going to be their first line center up until.
Yeah, but on.
But then they realized he wasn't the right fit. I mean, it's not what Vegas is going for.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Florida was, I think, the other one that really
he
wanted.
He retired.
Yeah, they wanted.
The first Vegas Golden Knight to retire in the NHL.
They wanted
I
him
know
and
that
they wanted,
he thought of that at some point. It was like, fuck them. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going back. I'm retiring.
Yeah, they wanted him and they wanted Dadonov. They got Dadonov.
Yeah.
Dadonov looked very
Florida
good.
Florida got Dadonov, and
he's been good.
He's been good, but Florida's just, I don't know, they have issues still.
Yeah.
But no, with Soshnikov, I do like what he brings. He's not flashy. Nope. He has a wicked shot.
Great shot.
But
gritty as hell. He doesn't mind getting into the corners and hitting people.
That's what I want to see from him. I think, you know, he's making his debut tonight. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see from him. You want to see the grit. You want to see him play well in the penalty kill because, have mercy, Hyman, Connor Brown, Leo Komarov, I don't know who else is
they
on
some,
the
they
penalty
need some
kill.
Speed on that penalty kill.
Not only that, they just Zaitsev, need bodies.
Zaitsev, well, Hainsey.
I'm talking about the forwards. Oh, okay. But, yeah, Zaitsev and Hainsey.
And then
there
the
is
other?
Nothing bad you can say about those two right now.
Ron Hainsey's been so good.
If people complain about Hainsey and Zaitsev, look at how much they're playing on the penalty kill. Then you tell me again whether or not
like,
they're
people.
Ron Hainsey
didn't want
pick.
Polak back, and I really don't like Polak. But it's like
that was
to,
why they
have
did
to
it.
Find someone now. Like
you do.
If Polak's not your guy, which he really should
he
not
should
be,
not be.
You like you give him that what 1.1 and you say, you go buy yourself some nice suits. You just show up in the press box.
Not even that. You know what? Wave them to the Marlies because guess what? Nobody is going to pick them up.
And, I mean, just the Sharks gave us 2 seconds. Like, you need people that can actually.
And you know what? I don't even think those people are with the Marlies because poor Austin.
Are you good?
Headphones are hurting me.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take those off for a minute.
Yeah, okay. It's like, I don't think that there's anyone internally.
You know what's funny? Somebody brought up the name Martin Merchant, and I'm just like.
Of course they did.
Did you see the goal he scored?
Yes,
the other
he did
night.
Score a nice goal. But he also had, like.
He made that look really difficult, though. Like,
not only that.
He pulled it back, and I was like, just chill, man.
All he had to just do was flip it up, honestly.
Lost the puck into the net.
And he had nobody was covering him. People are like, oh, Marissa's got the puck, that's fine. And they see that, like, oh.
It wasn't even like he danced past, like, a sprawling defender like that. It was just like.
Martin Marincin playing for the Marlies in the AHL right now kind of looks like Jonas Valanciunas in the way that Jonas Valanciunas gets the ball outside of the paint and does that thing where he does, like, his really terrible shot fake three times. Yeah, like, four times and then drives.
If you're a center and you, like, fall for that, you should not play basketball anymore.
Regardless. Martin
Marincin, find something else to do
I've seen him get the puck in the offensive zone for the Marlies, and he fakes that slap shot, like, two or three times and then just shoots it into the corner. Like, he's very offensively inept. So that was a pretty impressive goal.
And I mean, just judging by Martin Marincin last year, I know that the analytics support him being productive, but... There were a lot of just dumb mistakes that he's made. Like, a lot. And, like, I don't know if I want that to be our penalty kill guy.
No.
A guy that has looked like he has...
Who can't get the puck out of the zone?
He has, like, the Luke Shenitis where it's, like, when the puck's on his stick, it's, like,
grenade. I have an idea for a new stat. Grenades per game.
Yeah, grenades.
Martin Marincin would almost surely...
Well, we did do that one assignment in class. Make
grenades
up a stat.
Make up a stat. Grenades per game.
Pretty much, yeah, that would be a good
one. But anybody
one.
Outside of hockey would have a real rough time with understanding. You
know, I did write an article Saturday? I think Saturday or Sunday. Got really good traction, but I wrote about 5 teams the Leafs could look at to improve the team. So my first one is obviously the Ducks because they got two... The Ducks have somehow been able to survive without Ryan Kessler and Ryan Getzlaf. Because that D-core it's the deepest D-core, I think, in the league. And they have injuries. And they still have one of their better defensive prospects still in the AHL. In Jakob Larsson.
Yeah. I was reading an article about talking about the Ducks. Jakob Larsson, somebody that has really been buried in the Ducks system.
He has.
Is he a first-round pick?
He was a first-round pick in 2015. Like, no, sorry, 2016, because I believe Lindholm was.
Yeah,
Lindholm
was 2014 or 13.
15.
In 15, right?
Yeah.
Who was there 2016? Oh, I think that was Theodore in 2016.
Yeah,
no,
Ducks.
Sorry. 2016 was, I think, Sam Steele.
Yes, that was the Leafs pick.
Yeah.
Sam Steele, yeah.
Shea Theodore was I think he was like 30th or something like that.
He was the year before.
Shea Theodore was 2013.
And then 2014 was, I think, another forward. I think the Ducks did a really good job with landing draft picks for defensemen.
Yep.
Not so much with forwards.
Ricard Raquel's worked out.
Ricard Raquel is really
with another Leaf pick.
That was
it was
really
pick.
Richard. You have to ask that question. You know how many times it's been brought up.
They're doing pretty
not
okay
trade
with
them
picks.
Anymore.
We do not trade draft picks with them anymore.
Don't trade draft picks ever.
We're trading them goaltenders. Where's Jonas Enroth now? Yeah. Still is he still with the?
No, he's. I don't think so.
I'm gonna look him up.
I think he went back to Europe. But
you know who I forgot about that I saw the other day? Jonas Hiller. He was playing in the Karjala Cup for Switzerland. I completely forgot.
Yeah, he went back to Europe.
Yeah.
Because there was
because I don't watch European hockey, but that was weird.
Yeah. But the thing with the Ducks is they have the depth. They have guys that I think the Leafs could. Now, the Leafs are not going to get a Brandon Montour. They're not getting a Josh Manson or Fowler, Lindholm. A guy like Vatanen. The problem is he's not the... I mean, he probably could fit the Leafs system, but I don't know if it's the fit that the Leafs want. But the other guy I also brought up was Antoine Vermette, because the Leafs desperately need centers. The Ducks, I think, are eventually going to be in a position where they're going to have to sell. Because Kessler is out for a while. Getzlaf is going to be out for a while. There's so much you can do without your number one, two centers. Rickard Rakell has filled in nicely as a center. But Corey Perry is not able to take that load anymore.
No. Vermette's done all right.
Cogliano is another one who's on an expiring deal.
Their bottom six is the San Diego Gulls, so I can't even tell you.
Yeah. So I would say that I would try to wait it out. Okay, if I'm the Leafs, wait it out and see if Anaheim decides to become a seller. Because you know the Leafs, and they have the Anaheim on speed dial.
Oh, absolutely.
For any deal.
Yeah.
Big fans of them.
Yeah.
Dave Nonis keeps his options open.
Yeah, so there are guys that can get it done. That can help the Leafs. Another team.
There's a individual named Kalle Koskela in the bottom six for the Ducks. Don't believe that's a real person. Kevin Roy, Logan Shaw.
Okay, who are these people?
Exactly. Dennis Rasmussen. Tell me if y'all don't know Dennis Rasmussen.
Yeah. Actually, I want to pull up my article because I do want to bring up the other name from Anaheim.
Let's talk about Dennis Rasmussen while we're.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Dennis Rasmussen is 6'3". He's actually pretty big. And Swedish. And two points in 15 games. So he's doing well for himself.
The other guy I brought up. The other guy I brought up was Marcus Pedersen. I think it's Pedersen or Peterson.
Yep.
Big, bulking frame. Productive player on the power play, which that's another area I think the Leafs need, I think, some help is the power play on the back end. They can't get pucks to the net, unless it's Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
They're just not getting pucks in on net.
What about like a Hayden Fleury?
So I was going to bring up Carolina next.
Lovely.
Because that was another guy. People kept talking about Justin Falk. He's not the defenseman the Leafs need because he's not the defensive-minded guy. He's offensive-minded.
I mean,
although he's not scoring right now.
I feel like Carolina hasn't been too high on Fleury.
No.
It doesn't help that the players behind him have panned out. He's another guy. We make a lot of fun of Jake Virtanen.
Yeah.
Vertanen,
whatever.
That's how bad it gets.
I forgot his name ever since he screwed Canada out of a gold in 2016.
I tuned out of the conversation because I was trying to focus on this back-to-school thing, and then I heard Jake Virtanen, and I was like, he didn't say that.
I think Austin just did on purpose so he can get back in the conversation.
William Nylander and Nikolaj Ehlers.
I think Carolina has another defensive prospect.
Jake Bean.
Yep.
He's very good, but he's also supposed to be very, very good.
He's ways
a good
away.
Offensive defenseman.
But he's probably
got. I wouldn't say ways away. I think he's in the AHL now.
No, he's. I think he's still in.
Is he with Calgary still?
I'm pretty sure he's still with Calgary. The reason why I bring up Carolina is because Hayden Fleury is not playing in the top. Now, Hayden Fleury is not going to help your power play, but he is a solid defensive option.
That's what I was going to say. Is
a guy that fits your bottom six.
He's a guy that had a lot of praise coming out. He's been overshadowed because Nylander and Ehlers have worked out so well. I'm just going to butcher names for you, Richard.
Yeah.
Because those two have done so well. I mean, every other guy gets overshadowed that hasn't exactly worked out yet.
Well, people, I know some people who thought of Fleury as a potential option for the Leafs in that draft. But then Carolina took him.
But they thought it was a stretch at five. You want to talk about draft busts. Where's Michael Del Col nowadays?
Where's Griffin Reinhart? Okay.
Hello, Edmonton.
Not do that.
Okay. There's a lot of guys right now that have.
Let's talk about Borvilla and Barzal for a sec.
Oh God, it's not. Woo-hoo. So the reason why, I think Hayden Fleury is a decent option.
Yep. Beans got 19 points in 17 games for the Hitmen right now in the W.
So he's not. Maybe he makes it to the AHL next year, but maybe. Carolina just has so many defensemen. Eventually, Fleury needs a new contract. Falk's going to need a new contract.
Slavin, is he locked up now?
I believe.
Was it Slavin or Slavin Pesci that they locked up?
Both of them.
Oh, nice.
So
good for you, Carolina.
They got those two done. So like that's where I think the Leafs look at them and they say, look, Fleury is not a premier defenseman. He's a decent defenseman. We got scorers for you. They don't have scorers.
No, they need some help on offense. Jeff Skinner had a good year last year.
He did, but Jeff Skinner is also not
Teravainen
good by himself. Teravainen. I heard
Lindholm.
Someone say this on the radio. I think it was Pierre McGuire, and he was definitely right. They all look the same and play the same.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no not a good mix.
Could you imagine how much better all those players would look if they had like better top tier guys? Like, I don't see them as stars. I see them as top six guys.
Yeah, like Sebastian Aho is a good player.
Top six guy.
Elias Lindholm is a good player.
Maybe he's just, first line guy? I don't know. I don't watch enough of the Hurricanes, so I might just be crapping on them.
But I also think they need help in the bottom six part too, which is where the Leafs can help.
What I was saying is Victor Rask, I mean, how good would he look as like a third line center?
He would look really good.
Because he's behind Jordan Staal, I would assume, right now.
Yeah. So the Leafs can look at them and say, we can help each other out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Leafs are not going to give up a premier offensive player. But they
you're not getting a Marner or a Nylander.
But you're not getting that type of defenseman back either. That's not what the Leafs are looking for right now. And I don't think they should, because that's just going to cost way too much. And the other reason is because I think guys like Dermott and Liljegren could develop into those better defensemen.
I wouldn't trade him just like months after the draft, because like we're so excited that like he fell to 17.
Oh, no, I'd keep Liljegren keep him forever. Yeah. I love Liljegren.
Yeah, no, you keep him, but you give him as much time.
You can't have Liljegren on
as you need.
You can't have Liljegren on the Leafs and have Gardner and Riley. You can't have three defensive pairings with an offensive-minded defenseman on them. It just doesn't work.
No,
and you also need those two or three guys that can kill penalties.
Look, imagine a pairing of Dermott and Liljegren in the NHL when they're
ready
to go.
They were talking about. Are they playing together in the AHL?
They've been off and on. There's that veteran defenseman with the Marlies.
Loverde?
Yeah. That's been playing with Liljegren too.
Or Loverde. I don't really know.
I think it's Loverde. I don't know.
He's doing well.
But yeah, like the Marlies are doing, they're one of the better teams in the NHL. But keep that nucleus working together and don't take from it until you absolutely need to. I don't think the Leafs are at that point, because what you're looking for is a more permanent, ready-to-go option. I don't think that's there yet from the Marlies.
No, I wouldn't say so. On the defensive, you mean?
On defense, and Babcock has said there's a really good blue line in the AHL, but he hasn't said that anybody is ready. Like Dermott probably could make the jump up, but you're also asking him to really take on a big defensive role.
You're not talking about. I mean, if you're calling anyone up from the AHL, you're not talking about them going into a top four role. You're playing bottom pair.
Yeah,
if anyone comes up,
exactly.
There's no, but we're not. We don't have that top tier star, and I don't think you can really ask a guy playing in the AHL to just step right in there.
Exactly.
But I think Dermott could be fine. He and Borgman together on a third pair.
He could,
or him and Carrick, or
I just don't know. I don't know.
Pollock and Marinchin on a third pair.
Oh my good lord!
That pique your interest, Lee Sam.
Delete this. Delete this.
I'm just not sure. The only issue is the offside. I don't think Dermott has played a lot on his offside, and I don't think the Leafs would want him to.
No, probably not.
And Borgman has not played his offside either.
He's got a huge shot, Borgman.
He does have a huge shot.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he should get some power play time.
His shot against, who was it?
St. Louis.
Was it when the guy blocked
he just
it?
Walks in and just, like, puts it top corner, and I was like...
Did Borgman just do that?
I was like, I know I didn't see 55 do that.
Yeah.
And then you see Matt Martin do the same thing.
He danced around.
When
Doughty?
He went between the legs on... no, it was...
that was Doughty that like he just like walked around. Was like,
Maybe
Borgman does have something.
Something about that.
He was a Swedish Rookie of the Year, not just for his defensive play.
He got a lot of praise for that, because there's guys like Hedman, I think, was it... it wasn't Carlson that won it. It was Strahlman or something like that. Like, there's a couple really good NHL defensemen that have...
I mean, but again, it's going to take time for these guys to get there.
Yep.
Borgman's got this tendency to take penalties. He's 21. Playing, but he's also been playing professional hockey a lot longer than most 21-year-olds.
I wrote about this a couple, maybe 2 weeks ago. They think they're going to sign Igor Ozganov. I believe that's how you pronounce it. If we're still in the trend of butchering names, then whatever.
Okay.
How does the Leafs defensive situation go then? Because I don't think you're not going to bring a 25-year-old defenseman in. Might be dictating or.
But look,
what's the word I'm looking for? With Rosen, I'm trying to say
that you don't sixth know. Defenseman spot is wide open.
Yep. But how? Do you really want to bury Dermott for another year? Like, I think next year's his year. Nielsen's probably next year is more realistic.
Nielsen needs more time. And he's slowly starting a bit of a decline from what I've been hearing.
He looked real good a couple of seasons ago, which would suck if he didn't do well, because he's got a great frame.
Yeah, he does.
He could be that defensive shutdown.
But not all your prospects are going to pan out.
No.
This is the reality of it. So we keep saying, how's it?
We also have Razanen's going to be on the Marlies next year, probably.
Yep.
Can't wait to see him.
He's a
He's been
tower.
Tearing it up. I'm going to look up his point totals from this year.
But speaking of European defensemen, there's a... he obviously won't come to Toronto, but Dahlin.
Yeah.
Every day there's like just like a new video. Did you see the thing that I think he did like last night or whatever?
Oh, he's tearing it up. He's with
flew down the wing, cut through the middle, and scored. And it's like this is a kid that's doing this to men.
Oh, that Frölunda team is unbelievable.
If Arizona is right now is as much as we say how terrible they are, if they get Dahlin.
I mean,
he seems like a franchise changing guy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Holger Ekman-Larsson ain't going anywhere.
No.
My issue, the thing with Arizona, it's not the defense.
Nope. Defense looks great.
Well,
Anthony Duclair has
their goaltending
points or something stupid this year. Max Domi has like 10.
Yeah. They look, Max, it's the same issue with Carolina. Max Domi is not a top tier.
Looks like a good second line guy.
Top tier player.
But the thing about the World Juniors is that you fall in love. And then
it
Max
props
Domi's
up,
from
yeah.
Toronto and like they won it. And I was like,
no.
Everybody wanted the Leafs to trade for Max Domi.
They wanted to trade up.
But
that's silly
when
trade.
The Leafs had
the first
overall pick. It was like, would you trade it for Domi? Why the fuck would you trade it for Domi? Just because it's Ty's son? What are you, crazy?
I remember that. That's
but Matthews is from Arizona. I don't give a fuck where he's from. He's playing in Toronto. That's it.
That's it.
But Domi, what does Domi have to do with this equation?
No, and unfortunately, Domi has had some issues with injuries.
Yep.
So
I want to see him succeed because he's a good kid.
You do want to see these guys succeed.
And I mean, I love the juniors as a tournament because a tournament, it's like, well, I mean, like when you watch college football, it's crazy games because these are kids, right?
If it
like,
wasn't
it's
for
very
the,
much like college.
It's very emotional, right?
Very emotional.
You see the hot takes by grown-ass people going, these 2 weeks, this is definitely who this player is going to become.
Yeah.
What?
What
Cody
do you
Hodgson?
Think?
Justin Pokey is huge for Leafs right now.
Oh,
he's won 3 cups
he's
in a row.
He's
how many guys?
Huge Justin Pokey fan right here.
What would be of Nico Hischier, do you think, if not for the juniors? Because I think that's where his stock really...
It did, but
rose.
He was also doing that in the queue.
He took off after
that
tournament.
Like,
that,
he was still a top
20 pick. I'm not saying he went from seventh rounder to first overall pick.
I think we're more talking about guys that maybe weren't being talked about, but then in that tournament.
Well, that's what I mean. He sure
about.
Wasn't. He sure took a huge shot up the board as soon as he had that one game against the U.S. where he.
Because you don't really see him. He was playing it in.
He put Charlie McAvoy in a. He turnstiled Charlie McAvoy in that tournament.
Speaking of juniors, do you know who Bob McKenzie. I think it was Bob McKenzie. Who Bob McKenzie had in his September mock draft last year?
Man, you're right. I've read a lot of those articles. I just don't remember.
His name is Timothy. I don't know if you guys know him.
Oh, that's
right.
Oh,
yeah. Second overall pick, Timothy Liljegren?
Well, no. I think he was first from some.
No, Nolan Patrick was first, and then...
Oh, yeah.
And then it was Liljegren and...
Yeah, so...
And Heiskanen
that's why
wasn't
I don't
even
trade
up there.
Because it's like, what? He had mono, right?
Yep.
How do you get him at that value and then go, oh, yeah, here you can...
Pretty sure...
Mono.
I'm pretty sure his first 5 games of the Marlies, he had 4 points.
Yeah, he's killing it right now. He's...
Well, he's injured right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's missed the last few
mono?
Games. No. Some injury.
Timothy!
Stop kissing people!
It's not the only reason why you get mono.
I know. I'm kidding.
Austin has mono right now.
I
forgot that he works at Sportsnet. I can't like hurl accusations at him
exactly.
anymore.
Austin Owens out with mono.
I'm
6 to 8 weeks.
I just look at.
He's got 5 points in 9 games total.
Which is not bad.
Very good. He scored his first goal already.
Is an 18-year-old.
Everyone freak out.
Oh, no, he scored his first goal a while ago.
He's going to be very good.
Yeah, he just needs time.
I'm saying you can't put him with Gardner and Riley and expect the Leafs to not have an
issue.
He's not a defensive stud. Yeah. Let's call it for what it is. Liljegren is that high in the draft because he's a dynamic offensive defenseman.
Well, that's why most dynamic offensive defensemen get ranked that high for that reason.
Yep, because they look pretty on highlight tapes.
But I want to bring Arizona in for a reason. It's because it's not for their... Fourth overall pick, Dylan Strome, who I think was a bust pick by them.
I mean, Dylan Strome, it's the same thing.
It was the same, and he was terrible in the World Juniors.
Oh, that year was.
I thought Pierre-Luc Dubois was that
year really pissed me off.
I mean, there are some years that the Canadian team is so bad that you have to constantly remind yourself that these are just kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
So like I won't. But that was bad.
The one where during the lockout, where we were supposed to be loaded with.
Yep.
Oh, when they had new Jan Riley and.
Yeah. When
that was a great team.
Yeah.
And Subban was the goalie, I believe.
Man, oh man.
That was a great team, and they lost to Trouba and.
The year before, was that the year that they?
John Gibson.
Against Russia.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
they blew the lead against Russia, or the Russia jumped out and they had that comeback, but came one goal short.
Yeah, and Dylan Strome was acting a hot shot.
Yep.
In that,
I don't think Dylan Strome's a bust, but
I don't think he's as good of a player as people had touted him to be.
He's definitely getting that.
His skating was not, and I think it was Jake when we had him on when we were talking about Strome, is that he was not a good skater. And that was going to hold them back.
Yeah, but guys, let's be fair. People wanted them to take. I mean, people wanted the Leafs to take him, and the Leafs ended up taking undersized Mitch. I don't know his name.
Marner. Oh yeah, Mitch Marner.
Mitch Mimico.
You know what's the funny
Mitch
part
is
about
still
that?
Minor. That's
okay.
What they took.
So that season in the OHL in their draft year, Strome and Marner were pretty much almost deadlocked for...
Strome had like 3 or 4 more points than Marner or something.
But Strome had like a 6.9 in his the last game of the season.
Yeah, his end of the season was crazy.
And I remember it was like the year that Connor McDavid got hurt in Erie, and people were like, oh, Strome is now finally showing that he's something without McDavid, and then it's just like...
Nope.
It's the OHL guy. You have to really watch those points. And like... But the thing with like Marner, it wasn't that he was just putting up points; it was how he was doing it.
Yep.
And the reason why I bring up Arizona is because there's a former junior teammate of Mitch Marner playing for them right now. That's Christian Dvorak.
Yep.
Yes, London.
He's been very good.
Okay.
He's a good two-way center.
He is a good two-way center. Is there any chance that the Leafs could go to Arizona and be like, look, he's a good player, but he's not a guy that's going to put you over the top? He's a guy that can really help the Leafs and really help Marner. Would you guys ever consider? Well, do you think the Leafs would ever consider giving a call to see what Arizona's got to offer?
For
Devo? We're gonna call him Devo now.
That was his nickname.
That was his nickname. It's just like the hell. I know it seems very far fetched and it seems very unlikely, but there is that connection there, and he's a center.
I don't think it's that far fetched.
What they would want, though.
That's the thing. It's really hard for any team to call Arizona right now because they're in a position where, like, screw off. Because if you
tanking.
Go... Well, no, but you don't want to admit at this point of the season that you're taking calls on guys. Come on, you're only a quarter of the way through the season.
But if you're Arizona, it's like, your season's done.
Their season was done in the first 10 games when they couldn't
puck
get a
dropped
win.
And it was done. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, when you have Louis Domingue and... Auntie Rance as your 1-2 punch. You're going to be a real go-getter. I just remember people being so excited about the whole Derek Stepan Auntie Ranta trade. I'm just like, yep. Again, two guys that are not going to have never put the Rangers over the top, but they're going to put the Coyotes over the top.
I mean, that was a good cost-effective English option for the Coyotes, I think.
And coming off
losing Mike Smith, I mean, you couldn't go big spender on a goalie and have a bust. So, I mean, Ranta was a good stopgap. He hasn't worked out so far. Domingue was a dumpster fire.
Yeah, well, even when Mike Smith was out last year.
Was it the Dangle podcast? They said he had an 885 save percentage this year so far, Domingue. Yeah.
He'd be lucky to have
just getting
that, I think.
Buried.
But then they made the trade for Hjalmarsson, giving up Connor Murphy.
Not bad.
Hjalmarsson would be an ideal guy for the Leafs.
Yeah, I would take Nick Hjalmarsson.
We need a defenseman, like.
He's a defenseman, though.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. Like any
top
defense,
six sniper, Nick Hjalmarsson.
Yeah.
Just please give us just anyone that can play defense.
I think like a guy like the only reason why I don't want a guy like Jason Demers is he's older and he's got term.
Yeah, that's.
But Florida also took some salary in that deal, which I was very surprised.
See, term is something I like. You have to sign
when you. Okay, now this brings me to my last point: James Van Riemsdyk.
Again, it's what he wants.
He's going to want – it's his last chance for a big contract.
And also, like, the contract that he just had was really team-friendly. So,
yeah.
I mean, just basing it on that, like, these are, like, human beings with agents. he's probably going to price himself out of Toronto.
Oh, in the open market, he's probably going to get six.
Unless
six, six and a half over 7 years.
A bad year this year, and then it's like you'll come back for 1 year, and then, you know.
Unless he does bridge deal, he's not staying in Toronto. And even with a bridge deal, it depends on how much money he wants. I don't think he's going to sign a bridge deal. He's going to, like you said, he's going to get his last payday, or he signs a short-term deal and gets his payday, like gets more money over a shorter term.
I think if you're a guy like him, this has been an issue, though, with guys like him, is they take that big payday, and if it doesn't work out, oh.
Louis Erickson.
Yeah, so.
Sorry, Vancouver.
But he has to go to the right team. So
yep.
I think.
I'm just following the strike talks.
Oh, man. You're just.
Yeah, you're right into it. That's all good.
Well, you guys have your placements. I'm still like.
Yeah, we don't have to come back here on Monday.
I'm like halfway through my semester.
Yeah. Poor Richard.
Oh, my God. This. So
for guys who don't know, like Richard has been going crazy. He comes to school when nobody else wants to come to school and does work.
Someone hire me.
Richard comes in here when the lights are off.
Please hire me. It's not just that.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Back to work. Legislation not tabled today after NDP doesn't agree to unanimous consent.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, NDP.
Thanks.
Well, because but you know why?
Politics.
But you know why NDP is pro union.
Yes. Yes.
That's why. So that would just be the.
So.
Anyway.
If anyone is listening and wants to hire me, just let your boy know.
After this podcast, I don't know if anyone's going to want to hire any of us.
No.
But no, I mean, I think the JVR conversation is a legit one because I think at some point the Leafs have to make a decision.
Yeah. And I mean, now it's like I wanted him traded last year, not because of, you know, the whole hot take, let's trade him, but you won't get him back.
No.
His
value went down.
No, but his value now. The Leafs are a playoff team. The Leafs, like we can say that the Leafs are a playoff team. Why would you trade him unless if you can find a rental, unless if you think that a guy like Soshnikov can step in or a guy like Levo can step in or Kapanen can step in.
Levo, I'm not as sold.
If those guys can prove that they can come in, take minutes, not just be like a flash in the pan, come in and produce – you trade JVR for something.
The problem is, as soon as Matthews is back, that opportunity is gone.
Yeah, but right now, it's like, you know, if you cannot, you know, trust in the other guys, you keep JVR and just see, and then let
you roll the dice with them,
right?
I'd take my chances.
Well, because JVR is a 30 goal scorer, right?
You would take with Kapanen.
I would take a shot with Kapanen, and he looked very, very good on that West trip. I think. I'm not saying he's going to step in and seamlessly replace JVR. They're not the same player. But
that's the problem. We just don't know.
He'd be playing with, what, Marner and Bozak?
You're giving up a sure thing in JVR. People may argue with that, but he's a sure thing.
That's the thing. Like, you know,
to get something that is a maybe for over the rest of the season.
And are the Leafs in a position to go, if we don't trade him and let him walk for nothing, we're screwed? I don't think so.
No, you're not screwed.
No, because then Kapanen just steps in, or Soshnikov,
right?
Or
that's
Levo.
The thing. Like, if they're ready to contribute now, you see what you can get from him. If not, it's like you have a 30-goal scorer. Let's go on a playoff run and then.
I think in this situation, the Leafs can – it's a win-win. People are a little worried about losing a guy that is – producing
in this age
and
of
then,
you know, complaining about asset management on Twitter, you like, why would you, like, of course you can trade him for a second round pick and then go, oh, look, assets, but
what are you gonna, you
ooh,
have to
shiny.
Make those assets work,
right? It's like we have a guy a 30
that,
score
that brings me like the Colorado trade. People are like, yeah, such a home run. Those picks are the most important.
Colorado
picks.
Made out great in that deal.
Look, I always bring back to that Boston Bruins three straight picks in the first round example. You can have three straight picks in the first round, but if you only hit on, I think, one of them.
And honestly, I mean, the draft itself, especially the hockey draft, is such. I mean, in basketball, when you get past the top 10, it's like, all right, this guy can produce. In hockey, it's like, if you're a first rounder, it's like, all right, that's your label until you either get to the league or blow up. That's it.
I even said, when I watched, because that was the Mitch, was that the Marner draft?
2015?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching that at Real Sports with some friends, and we watched the Bruins go up, and we're like, okay, Bruins have three straight picks. One of them is going to be Barzal.
They're going to bury other teams in a couple of years with all three of these draft picks,
yeah.
You would think.
But then I remember the people were like, oh, they didn't expect to have the three picks, so that's why they – look,
no
if
excuse.
I, you have scouts.
Yeah.
You
I
have
was
reports
shocked
on all these
at
guys.
The fact that I found $100,000, so I just – spent it just on like $1 million.
Blew it on underwear.
Foil. Right? Just, I didn't know what to do with it, so I just got rid of it.
It's
but
just,
I mean, at the same time, I don't, like, you can't really write off the guys that were taken. But
DeBrusk is the only
like,
guy that's
the draft
in the
is great. I'm not saying that the Bruins made the wrong choice because I'm not a scout and, like, I don't know.
We don't
but
know yet.
At the same time, it's, you can see. Have picks. You can have every pick in the first round, in, like, in a draft, and then have all of them forget how to play hockey.
Didn't somebody want to offer, I can't remember which draft and which team. It's that's just terrible. But
all their picks?
They wanted to offer all their picks from the second round on
that's
for
the
team's the
Jackets
first
round pick. And the Islanders. So somebody wanted to move up one pick. First of all, to offer that, I know what I just said about blah, 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 but to offer that to move up one spot and then to say no to that.
Not only that.
What order did those picks go in for Boston? I'm sorry to interrupt.
I think it was like
14, was it,
13,
yeah, it
was, 14, 15.
But who went? Was it Zboril, then Senyshyn, then DeBrusk?
Oh.
I'm looking at Senyshyn right now. He was 15. It just depends on who went. I think it was
DeBrusk
was the last.
Before.
So,
really? Okay.
I think DeBrusk went before.
I wanted to point.
The Islanders wanted to trade picks number 4, 34, 65, 100, 325, 155, and 185 to go from 4th to 3rd.
Yeah.
They probably wanted Ryan Murray.
Both.
Because why else would you do that?
Yeah.
I thought they wanted Noah Hanifin in that.
That one,
with those
like,
three picks.
No, this was 2012. This
oh,
was,
2012, yeah. Yes. That was just wrong.
For the Bruins draft, Senyshyn and Jakub Zboril, the two other players they took, are both playing for Providence. Zboril has 12 games played, no points. He's a defenseman, so.
Okay.
But he's a defensive defenseman, I would assume. Cause
Ron Hainsey's a defensive defenseman. Yeah, he's able to put up points. I hate
he's
that argument.
He's also playing with Morgan Riley, who's the third best scorer and defenseman among the
league.
But
Riley doesn't score goals. That's what I'm saying. Like
Riley shoots
just, like,
pucks on net and they go in.
Like, look, people say, oh, he's a defensive defenseman. That's why he doesn't score points. You can still get points.
I feel like the whole defensive defenseman thing is dead now. I mean, if you're a guy that's just big and you know how to play defense but can't play hockey.
You're Roman Polak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Nobody's like.
That guy that's not playing right now.
If you're so one-dimensional that it's just, I just block shots. And
Brooks Orpik still has a job.
No, but like these guys can barely. Still somewhat play, right? That's why the fighter's dead, because people want people that can play hockey, not just do like one thing.
Yeah.
Zach Senyshyn's also with Providence. Like I said, he's got 6 points in 12 games.
That's not
two
as
goals,
bad.
four assists. Not terrible. DeBrusk's playing on the fourth line for the Bruins right now. Yeah. He scored his first goal a couple weeks back.
But this is why the Bruins are struggling, because their draft picks are not hitting. This is why the Panthers are struggling. Their draft picks aren't hitting. This is why Detroit struggles. Their draft picks weren't hitting. Well, I mean, they're kind of starting to hit now at the wrong time. When they want to be bad, they're somewhat mediocre. And then Buffalo, your picks are not. Like, Buffalo is the extreme example. Yeah, we got Jack Eichel. Who else? I mean, Nylander's been hurt the last 2 months.
Alex Nylander got a bad break and didn't make the team because he was injured during preseason.
Exactly. So
he's very dynamic. He's probably better than Willie, I'd say.
No, you know what?
Whoa.
Willie said that.
Whoa.
Willie.
Yeah, but that's his younger brother, though.
So yeah, he's not going to be like, I'm better.
I think he's going to be a star.
He will be a good
Nylander
player.
Will be very good.
He's had injuries probably.
I mean,
so.
Buffalo's draft this year was very good, I think. They got Casey Mittelstadt, who's going to be a monster. I don't know if you saw the clip of him in the NCAA.
Yep.
Just walking around an entire team for like a minute. And they also got Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, he was supposed to be the top goalie in the draft.
Say that name one more time.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
I love Finnish names.
Yeah, right? It rolls off the tongue so nicely. I mean, so difficult.
It just sounds like a sound effect.
It's so difficult and so nice at the same time.
We had an exchange student last year, and
they have Cliff Poo.
I'm
looking at the draft list.
We once spent hours just talking about like Finnish hockey players, and then I was like, I just love hearing like you guys like say like just the authentic like.
Our
dude was from
Marcus
Turku. Turku, and I was
our guy was from Turku. Is this
Marcus,
the same guy?
If you're listening to us,
God, I love you, Marcus.
We miss you
wherever you are, Sam probably in Turku.
Okay.
I apologize if I butchered Lukanen's name. Let me know on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to send this to him and let him know if he'll have to listen and just make sure I don't butcher
any
international
names. We're gonna have to give
him
the exact
names.
Time because this is a long ass podcast. And if
how long have we been going for on the?
We've been going for a while. I'm not
good stuff.
No, but
super duper gang.
Well, it doesn't help when you guys just start going off topic on me like usual.
Well, I mean, Buffalo's turning it around a little bit. They've got Nylander, Rasmus Asplund, Cliff Poos was a top scorer for London last year. I mean, they're getting all right.
I think what the point I was trying to get at when I was talking about this, you look at the top two teams or top three teams in the Atlantic, Atlantic. It's Toronto, Tampa, Ottawa. Austin is, you know, you could be a little quieter when you do that. Well, that's right.
The
door
jumped out the room and announced it to me.
Oh, that's also because the door is having a problem closed, and that's why he doesn't get locked out. The reason why the Leafs, Senators in to a certain degree, and the Leafs are improved, is their draft picks are hitting.
Yeah.
You look at Tampa.
You pick 1-4-8 and have those guys like carry the team, and then you have guys like Dermott. Like, it's crazy what happens when like you take like Tyler Biggs in the first round, or when you trade when you're trading away like all these picks, and then, you know, the sixth round picks. Like, I know that Stone is so much better than Brown, but like Stone and Brown are contributing.
Yeah,
Stone's contributing more, but like,
but Stone is in a more prominent role.
Like, you have to like hit on your picks, and I mean it's like you need to have that. You can't just, you know.
I'm gonna bring up one name, just to debunk the whole theory of if you're patient and you let these guys develop, they're gonna do well for you. Nikita Kucherov was not a first round pick. He was a second round pick.
Oh, okay.
Second round pick. He spent 2 years in Russia. Then he came over to the Quebec League. He was not, I mean, he was a decent player in the Quebec League, but he wasn't
But isn't the Quebec League like a scoring league anyway?
It is, but it's a little bit too easy to score in the Quebec
League. Yeah, see, like, it's a scoring league, right? So, like, that's why, like, you know. And I feel like a lot of what, you know, with Kucherov is, you know, patience. Like, you're right. Like, it wasn't like here, you know.
And you put him in a position to succeed when he's ready. He's playing with Stamkos right now, and they're the best duo in the NHL.
I mean, his shot is crazy.
Good Lord. Like, he is. I didn't think he was going to get to this level. Excuse my ignorance for that, but.
He scores 30 in 2016, 40 in 2017. He damn well might score 50.
People are talking about 60. I mean, Stamkos is just the playmaker all of a sudden.
Could you imagine Stamkos like helping him score 60?
I mean, he's done it. He knows what it takes.
Yeah.
But the other, I mean, yeah. This is where I'm whole with the whole Nylander thing. If people are getting, you know, like he's kind of struggling. He'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be a 40-goal scorer.
But I am. He's scoring. No, I'm kidding. I mean, he'll, like, this isn't, okay, like, just like when Matt Fratton scored, wait.
Matt Fratton.
Let me drop some numbers on you guys.
Drop some numbers. You're dropping names first.
We drop some numbers on you guys.
Don't speak ill of Canadian Olympian Matt Fratton. It's like speaking ill of John Poole.
What was it?
John Poole. We can probably do a whole Leaf podcast on just old
random
Leafs.
I think I've told you before, I have a John Poole Pro Stock hockey stick I bought from the Leafs. Okay.
So,
for $20?
13.
Something like that.
They
don't sell them for that cheap. It was probably like 60 or 70.
Okay.
2013, he scored 7 goals in 25 games. And I remember people like were like, Fran can be a part. Well, because we get excited about it, like anything.
Was that the year he scored that overtime winner against Buffalo? And people just went absolutely nuts. What year was that?
It's 2011 or 2012 probably.
Yeah, I think so. Wait.
It was.
Whatever.
Was it the lockout shortened year? Because
that's
the year where people were like, he was ready.
Three game winning goal. Yeah, right? And it's like, his shooting percentage is 16 points. Like, he's not going
to. And then he gets traded to the LA Kings in that offseason.
He hasn't scored 7 goals combined.
Well, he's also not in the NHL anymore.
Yeah, so, right? It's like.
Who's he playing for? Is he still in the AHL?
I think or even the ECHL if he's lucky.
Let me look it up. One sec.
Well, you guys have the computers in front of you.
Yeah.
I have a computer for me, but it's
he's playing Baris
Astana.
He's in Russia, so like, yeah.
He's almost a point per game player in Russia.
So, I mean, get him back. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
Kovalchuk, right?
He's in the Olympics. I mean, he can't be that
David
bad.
Just rolled his eyes out of his head.
All right. What do you want to talk about next?
I think it's time to end this. That's what I think. But no, we're going to, the next
Matt
time
Fratton
we back,
is where we should draw the line on this podcast. The
I love you,
side.
Matt. I hope you're
okay,
listening.
Before I go, I'm going to Montreal on Saturday. Richard, you've been in enemy territory before.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't in enemy territory.
You were.
I was not anywhere in danger in enemy territory.
Come on, give me a break.
I was surrounded by blue. Okay, I was.
So I mean, I was going to ask for advice.
I was with my family.
I was going to say advice for going on a Leafs road trip.
Just
neutral.
Drink
colors.
As much beer, and if you ever
Montreal, you can go to a grocery store and get beer. So it's not hard.
If anyone ever offends you, you just say, "Do you think you're better than me?"
That's good, and I can say that in French too.
Five guys, just the funniest thing. What? You think you're better than me? So many guys at sporting events. Just good. That's how fights start. You think you're better than me?
Look at this guy thinking he's better than me.
Okay, so
just walk around Montreal in a Leafs jersey and challenge anyone and say, "Do you think you're better than me?"
Challenge everyone and anyone to a fight.
I'll be fine. Yeah,
it'll be great.
Just start the conflict, and there will be no conflict.
So I think the next time we come back, I'll have my report from Montreal.
Dave's coming back with two black eyes.
Yeah, okay.
Dave's not going to be able to get to the studio because he won't know where it is.
Okay, let's be real here. It's Montreal. What are they? Realistically, what are they going to do to me?
Just be offended at everything.
Exactly.
Don't wear any Leafs gear if you can avoid it.
Are you kidding me?
You.
I am going to Montreal. I am wearing a Leafs jersey. If it was Philadelphia, that's a different story.
I wouldn't wear blue. I would just be like, all right, guys,
I will wear black.
I've heard stories from.
I'm new to the country. I just want to watch a game.
You've heard the stories of the Philadelphia.
That
obviously,
might even be worse.
I know somebody who
what?
Went to.
That might even be worse.
I know worse for me. I'll tell you that right now. No, I mean, I'm Canadian.
One of the people I know is a woman that was a Toronto Rock season ticket holder. She went to Philadelphia to watch a game, and she was being chirped like relentlessly by fans in Philly. Like, they hold no punches, to the point where like she knew some of the players, and the players had to come out after the game into the stands and tell them to screw off because the fans
that.
Were.
I would do that. I'd be like. Simmons, yo.
Yeah. Simmer, get out of here.
Yo, man.
Hey. Did you see Mike Milbury beat a foul to shoot? Wayne Simmons would do even worse. Just, I know Simmons. Come. Yeah. I love Wayne Simmons because I remember he was, he came back.
Is it a Scarborough man?
Yeah. So he was playing a game against Toronto, and obviously, like, his family's there, and he takes a penalty. The fans in the penalty box are getting on him. So he tugs his jersey. He just starts to make it rain in the penalty box. That's such a baller move. I just be like, yeah.
So what you're saying is for me to survive, have some help in Montreal. Just
make
be
it
like,
rain.
Just, yo, Matty Martin,
listen, introduce
right
yourself
over here.
To Matt Martin tonight. So if somebody acts up, be like, yo.
Like, I'll find out where
he'll be on the bench. He won't be doing anything anyway. So
I'll be finding out where he stays in the hotel. We'll just
Matt Martin
out.
Will come beat Matt, somebody in Montreal with a shoe.
Help.
I should be fine. My cousin, I told you, my cousin's a pretty big guy, so we're good.
Famous last words.
All right, so, yeah, then.
Famous
last words.
I don't
words.
Have to tell police about this.
Exactly.
This conversation.
This conversation.
This is not being submitted as evidence, Dave.
No,
simmer
it's not.
Down.
All right, so you can make sure you follow us on Twitter at Tip of the Tower and on Facebook. You can find the podcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find it on other podcast apps, whatever you use to watch your podcast. I use the Podcast Addict app, really good. Download my podcast.
I just click it on Twitter. What do you guys?
I like to listen to my podcast.
I'm just searching
offline
Twitter,
when I'm
and
in,
it shows
like,
up. And I
watch.
Okay, that makes sense.
That works. Okay, make sure you follow me, David Morisuti. So D_Morisuti on Twitter. 2 S's, 2 T's. Some people forget that. You can follow Richard at @RLeeSam. 2 E's there, and you can follow Austin_AustinOwens. Thank you guys, and enjoy the Leaf game.